Hello, everybody. Dr. Lonnie Stewart here from the Healthcare Education Transformation Podcast. Are you a physical therapy student about to start studying for the National Physical Therapy Examination? Or maybe you're a professor, a program director, or a clinical instructor who teaches DPT students preparing for the NPTE? Either way, we would recommend checking out our sponsor, NPTE Final Frontier, and the community they've built around preparing for and succeeding on the NPTE. That exam and the preparation that goes along with it can be long, tedious, difficult, and stress-inducing, but it doesn't have to be. NPTE Final Frontier has the tactics and resources to help address all of the usual barriers. They even have scholarships to help with NPTE study courses, FSBPT registration fees, and even research opportunities. And if that's not enough, they're even donating to the very first annual HET Podcast Scholarship to be awarded at the end of every year. Go to npteff.com for all of the details and use code HET for 10% off all purchases. Links to both the NPTE Final Frontier and their scholarship options are available in the show notes. And now, let's get ready to learn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Healthcare Education Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. F. Scott Field, and I've got with me today special guest, Dr. Gabriela Perez. Gabriela is going to talk with us a little bit today about how to use technology in education and why she's so passionate about it. Gabriela, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about your academic journey and how it's led you to where you're at today.
Hey, Scott. Thank you so much for having me, first of all. We'll take it from the top. So I currently teach in the occupational therapy program. I mostly teach anatomy. I've taught pretty much every course, but right now I'm mostly in anatomy. But how I actually started was as a physical therapist assistant. You might call me a hybrid.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So PT was my first passion. Anything with that, I remember I graduated when I was like, Jesus, I'm going to date myself. I wasn't even old enough to have a drink or a celebratory drink. So I've been a physical therapist assistant. I'm still practicing as one, obviously not as much, but definitely a big spot for physical therapy in my heart. But then I converted with time in the clinic. I did home health. I did private practice. I've pretty much been in any and every arena, but I don't know. I kind of saw what OT did and decided to give it a shot. So I pursued my master's in occupational therapy. Then for a while, I treated in inpatient rehab, definitely with love the neuro population. So stroke and brain injury was kind of my jam. And with that, I was exposed to a lot of technology. So that's where it kind of started. And then I went and I got my doctorate in occupational therapy, and I didn't stop there. And then I got my doctorate in education with an emphasis in motivation, innovation, engagement, and technology. That's why we're here today.
I love it. I love it. So just out of curiosity, like, what was it like making the jump from PTA to OT? And like, what was that process like? I mean, that's not an easy task. I mean, you've got to go from an associate's to a master's, essentially. So what was that like, that whole process of switching over?
That process took me a bit because I was aligning my ducks so I could go ahead and do therapy, get my master's in PT. That's how it was back then. But Like I said, I was exposed. And during my bachelor's, I got my bachelor's in exercise science and education. So I think being a physical therapist assistant actually gave me a leg up. It gave me such a solid foundation that I knew my anatomy, I knew my biomechanics. The rest, I just had to learn how to engage with my clients, engage with occupation of it. I actually think it helped me a lot and I enjoyed it. I mean, I still do.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that a lot. Life experience, schooling, base of like, you know, science and anatomy and those things, like in DPT students that are PTAs already, I see that it definitely can help for sure. They have just like, they're already working, they're doing treatment sessions, you know, they have to learn, obviously, the little intricacies like the evaluation, the follow-up, the discharge, you know, the reevaluation, that kind of stuff, and documentation. And there's a lot more learning that goes on for that. And I think the critical thinking skills and the clinical thinking are a little more advanced, but it's a great foundation. Like you said, it definitely gives you a leg up, I think, you know, to have that life experience. So very cool. So now we fast forward ahead to present time, and you're teaching a bunch. You're teaching with the use of education and technology. You know, you're bringing them both together. Why that path and avenue? Why is that such a passion of yours?
Okay. So full transparency, I'm a gamer. So I love games. Again, not just physical games, because I love my exercise. But I grew up playing Nintendo 64, and it's just that engagement, that reaction. I also went into Xbox for a little bit. I got to tell you about that. And then PC gaming. So why gaming? There's something about the engagement of it. Why technology? There's something about being submersed in it. So it helps with that. So technology, as I tell everybody that I'm exposing them to, technology, it's not just the technology. It's just an avenue. So when we think about gaming, did you ever game?
Oh yeah. I'm going to date myself. I was an NES guy. I started with the 8-bit.
Oh, NES.
And we currently have a Switch for the kids and my wife. My wife likes Animal Crossing. The kids love all the Switch games. I still play the old 8-bit NES games on the Switch. So that's, I think the furthest I really got with gaming was, I think Sega Genesis was where I kind of tapped out. No, that's not true. We did have a PlayStation in college.
Okay.
But that's where it kind of tapped out. And then now I'm back into it again. I love the Switch. It's a great machine. But like I said, I still like to use it for Mario Kart's okay. I'll play the kids in Mario Kart when they want and stuff. And Mario Golfing I love. But the 8-bit games are still where my heart's at. I still go back to those. It's, I don't know. I guess it's just the classics, you know?
So I'm leading somewhere. And I'm glad you mentioned that about your family and that engagement. That's what I mean with education, technology, and engagement. It's having fun. It's engaging with the content that I don't want to. So remember, I teach anatomy. Who wants to see origin and surgeons and talk about blood vessels? And the students tell me, Dr. Perez, I don't know what you're looking at. But now what if we have some fun with it? Now what if it's a visual challenge? What if it's, you know, just an auditory challenge? What if it's, again, it's that engagement. So I do pride myself in using different technology. And also, Scott, we're not teaching to the same student. We're not teaching to our generation. These individuals are growing up. And I say individuals because they are. They're not kids. Sometimes I have young adults. Sometimes I have older students. But they're growing up with phones in their back pockets. Okay? They can Google anything right off the bat. They don't have to search it in a book. So part of that is still teaching them, you know, you got to look stuff up the right way, using technology the right way. So
yeah, that's huge. I think, you know, you make a good point there, because now we do walk around with computers in our pockets. So you don't need to know every little thing and every little detail. I think you need to learn it the first time, get a sense of it, and then start putting together the pieces and realize, even me, like when I was in the clinic, I would still look things up on occasion, like that. You just can't be expected to know everything. And that's okay. I mean, patients value that when you say like, hey, I'm not really sure, but let me check with a couple of experts that I know. Let me reach out to my network and let me do a little research, and I'll come back to you and we'll come up with an answer, you know, because you don't have to know everything right nowadays. Like you said, with technology improving so much, we can look things up very simply, but we need to know how to look them up correctly. And we also need to be able to sort through some of the misinformation that's out there as well. And I think that becomes a big aspect of, like, you know, problem solving and critical thinking and knowing, you know, well, I don't think that's true. Let's dive a little deeper and see what the research says, you know, and kind of figure it out. So I like that. I like that path. But tell me a little bit then about some of the things that you do and some of the uses of technology that you're using now and that you're seeing in education.
The biggest thing that I will start with is you just can't choose the technology. I'm a little bit more, my approach is very holistic, as you know, and you see me and how I talk. I talk to my students like I talk to my colleagues. There's a respect, but there's also that humanity component. Like you said, I don't know everything and I might need to look it up. I know a little bit more than you do, maybe,
right?
At least for my students, but I might need to look it up. So the first thing is I have students that don't know how to study, Scott. They don't know what to do. They're in graduate school now, and you know what was working for them isn't working for them now. So one of the big things that I start off with, it's pretty much a learning style questionnaire. And that's fun because students get to see, are they visual learners? Are they auditory? Are they tactile? Or do they prefer to read? A lot of them can narrow it in, but a lot of them, you see sparks fly. They're like, I didn't realize that I was such an auditory person. So for instance, I'll use myself as an example. I do love visuals and I enjoy reading. I'm not much of a tactile person per se, but auditory, Scott. I'm such an auditory girl. Like I can sit through something and it goes. So podcasts, they're my jam. Yep. I use them for information. I use them for motivation. Whether it's my teaching, my training, whatever it is I want to find out more about, that's my avenue. So I expose them to that. And then with technology, I expose them to different technologies. Some technology that's more visual, some technology that's more tactile. So for instance, the anatomage, that's something that we use in anatomy. And what I like to say, it's a giant iPad. I call it the Maserati of iPads. And for the sure. reason I say Maserati is because it costs about a Maserati.
Right.
And some of the students love it because they could touch the structures. They can feel the screen, but they can engage with it. Some students are like, Dr. Perez, I don't know what I'm looking at. This makes no sense to me. I can move this around. I don't know what I'm doing. I like to hear you lecture. I like to see when you see you when you identify the model. That works for me. We use an automage a lot. And one of my favorite ones is Mentimeter. Are you familiar with that one?
Oh, yeah. I have a love-hate relationship with Mentimeter due to my use at conferences and its ability to either work or not work, just depending on the Wi-Fi situation.
So I'll tell the audience, Mentimeter is really, it's kind of fun. It's a visual kind of polling system that you can use from your phone. You could do it in a live meeting, or you could do it actually like in a Zoom call or any teleconference meeting. But as Scott says, there's hiccups to it. That I'm not sure if Scott, if you'd asked me, but that's one thing I'll pause everybody on. Don't figure out technology while you're implementing it. Figure it out first.
Yeah.
Don't start it because it's not fun when it doesn't work.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I've actually had to do. So this most recent time I used it for a conference, I had like backup plans on backup plans on backup plans just in case the conference center didn't have good Wi-Fi or whatever, you know, the bandwidth was too low or it just didn't want to work live. The question and the polling works all the time. It's just showing the live results sometimes doesn't. And so when I embedded it in my PowerPoint presentation, I had it so that the live results would come and show on the screen during the presentation. Definitely a couple hiccups, but I figured it out beforehand, got it to where it was the best possible chance of working. And then if that didn't work, I had two other backups. I had an extra screen at the conference that I could switch over to. They had a podium screen that we could use too. So there were two other options I had on backup just in case. I had the Mentimeter pulled up, ready to go, just in case the one on the screen didn't work. But I practiced it a bunch of times, bunch of settings, and I got it working. So finally, I think I figured Sweet. Out Mentimeter. Yeah.
Good. And I guess that would be my other advice. Always have a backup plan. I always do. You have to have one.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at mucking up technology. So I usually have two or three backup plans at this point because I just know I expect things to fail. I just do, especially when it comes to technology. I don't know why, but I find really good ways to screw things up. Not intentional. You know, I know enough to be dangerous. That's the problem. I'm not great with technology, but I'm good enough that I can play around and figure most of it out until I can't. And that's when things get ugly because I start poking around in places I shouldn't be. And then all of a sudden the settings are all jacked up. And then like I have IT come and they're like, what did you do here? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Luckily we've got good support. IT is great. They help out, but yeah, I have plans, backup plan B, C, and D sometimes because I know I need to, but that's just me. So I have another question. Where do you think technology's going in the realm of education? Where do you think it's heading? What do you see coming down I can say this, the last two conferences I've been to, AI has been talked about a bunch. So yep. I guarantee that's something we're going to talk about. But where do you see technology heading with regards to education?
And now for a quick shout out to our newest sponsor, Varela Financial. If you're a physical therapist and you have student loan debt, you got to talk to these guys. What makes them unique is that they view financial planning like running hurdles on a track. And for PTs, the first hurdle many of us run into is student loan debt. Varela Financial will help you get over that hurdle. They not only take the time to explain to you which plans you individually qualify for and how those plans work, but they also take the time to show you what your individual case looks like, mapped out within each option. So if you're looking for help on your student loan debt or any area of personal finances, we recommend working with them. I use Varela Financial personally, and they were able to help me lower my student loan repayment from about $1,800 a month down to about $135 per month simply by finding the right repayment plan that best fit me, my family, and our life goals. You can check them out at VarelaFinancial.com. Link is in the show notes if you need it for reference, and tell them the HET podcast crew sent you. And now back to the show.
I see it just pretty much like moving forward, like at a really fast speed. We're adopting. I saw AI coming for a bit. I've been looking at it. I was an early embracer in it. Interesting that you talked about AI. A lot of the faculty, they were freaking out about it. Like, I don't know what you've heard about it, Scott, but they were like, oh my God, you know, you could produce full papers on this. But remember, there's still errors. There's still human errors. It's not perfect. So we do have a lot of counter technology for that. So I've explored a little bit of that, but I don't know about you, Scott, but sometimes I need like a fresh set of eyes when I'm writing emails, and just to kind of like move things around a little bit, I embrace it. Automating things. Are you an automator kind of guy?
I'm trying. You're getting there. Yeah. Especially for my business. I'm trying to automate as much of that process as possible. Because nowadays, I just don't have the time to customize every single thing and individualize every single thing. So anything that I can take off my plate with automation and technology, I'm trying, you know.
And I speak to that. So you said it will help me. So automation, even in studying, helping students organize themselves, organize their notes. They take fantastic notes, but they have notes everywhere. Yeah. I'm like, do you even know how to access your notes, how to go back to it? Do you know what it means? So automation's big for me. You know, they tell me, like, Gabby, what, you're so quick. And I'm like, I'm not quick. I just try to be efficient. That's how I use technology. So automation, AI, and I think it's going to help us teach a little bit better. See, this is where some faculty are eager to embrace technology. Some are not. But sometimes I'm trying to tell my students about maybe a brain injury or the way that somebody might portray. I mean, we can have actors or what we call simulated patients, but they don't know what it looks like. And I feel like now technology could really make things submersive, like real experiences. What does it feel like when a patient's crying or yelling at you or is bleeding or anything like that? So again, and I'm only speaking to healthcare. I think this could go across pretty much any type of content or any type.
For sure. I'm right there with you. I embrace AI. I think it's coming whether we like it or
it's
not.
It's coming.
We can't put that bullet back in the gun, right? So I think at this point, we just got to embrace it and roll with it. And I will say this, like we presented at the Educational Leadership Conference on how to get proposals accepted. And one of the things we said was to take your summary of your proposal, your write-up, and run it through AI and say, hey, could you give me the best sounding summary for my proposal in 250 words? Because, you know, a lot of the proposal applications have word limits on things and stuff like that, right? So you can just take your summary that you wrote up for your proposal, run it through AI, and it'll cut it down to 250 words. Then you can say, okay, this one's pretty good. Let's run it through again and say, give me another perspective of this. Give me another version of this that would sound like it came from a top conference presenter, and they give you another 250 words. Now you can take the two and start picking and choosing from those, then get another version and run it through one more time and say, hey, this is what I've come up with. Squeeze this down to 250 words, right? So like, I mean, that's your work. That's your stuff. You're just using AI to optimize it, you know? And, you know, I know our students are going to use AI. I'm okay with that. My thing is like, look, like there's a couple things to consider with AI. If you're going to use AI, totally fine with that, but let me know about it. Write an extra paper telling me your experience with using AI. Did you have to edit a lot? Was it well done already? References, that's a big one. AI still has no grasp on references. It just makes them up sometimes that don't even really exist. So if you have to reference things, which I generally do in assignments, I make them use references. They've got to have that, you know, locked in. They have to check on that stuff, right? Then like, was it an overall positive experience, negative experience? Did it help speed time up for you? Did it take longer? Like what, you know, just tell me about your experience with utilizing AI. And then I think on top of that too, we have to start realizing that like at the end of the day, you can use AI through the entire course of your curriculum and do fine. And you could even use it, you know, in a dishonest and you know, a negative way and get through and you know, cheat your way through. But at the end of the day, you're having to sit for the exam. That AI is not going to be in the room with you sitting for the exam. So you still have to know the information one way or another. You know, the assignments and the grades you get on those don't matter a whole lot to me. It's more about, did you learn? Did you physically learn? Can you walk out of this room and say, I learned something today, right? Information was transferred to me. I now know it. If you can say that, then hey, we're in a good spot, you know? So I think we worry a little bit too much about grades and, you know, getting the numbers on the assignments and stuff, when in reality, we should be focusing more on how to transfer the knowledge and then make it stick. You know, that's the big takeaway, I think. So anything that technology can do to help that, I'm all for it.
So Scott, you said something that students don't get with all the time. Sometimes I say, I don't care about your grades.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't either. I go like, I care if you learned. I really care if you learned.
Yeah.
And implementing and just saying, hey, look, I used it. You know what, Dr. Perez, I heard you a ton of times. I read, I did all that. For some reason, when I wrote this part and the AI and it broke it down for me, maybe that's the aha moment. That's the click. I'll tell you and then I'm going to ask you, have you ever had writer's block?
Oh, yeah. I was an English major before I was a PT. So me and writer's block are quite familiar with each other.
How does that feel? How does that feel?
Brutal. It's brutal.
I started baking the other night. So because I couldn't figure it out. And I think about it. Well, this was during my dissertation. Sometimes you just have that one sentence, that one thing you want to say, it just doesn't come together.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're stuck. And then I started baking because I realized while baking and reading the instructions, I don't know, it was something therapeutic about it. And then I would have that moment and then go back. And I think about how many hours did I spend baking or not writing? Or then this is the part that I think I'm most passionate about, the part that I don't want to engage with what I'm doing because can't move forward. It's like, what is it? Analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't want my students to feel either. I want you to be able to move forward. And I do feel that technology moves the game. What I call it, the game, it helps it move it forward.
Yeah. That's a great perspective on it. No, that's, and sometimes, you know, it's funny because like when I am stuck, sometimes it's even just a word. Like I can't remember that word.
One word.
I'm like, what in the heck? I know it's that thing and I can explain it, but I can't remember the name of the word. And it's like, oh man, I hope I'm not getting old quick. You know, it's like that's tough. But like I'll be in the shower or something completely unrelated and then it'll hit me. I'll be like, oh, that was the word. Yeah. Or I'll be like, we were at basketball practice the other night and I remembered a thing that I was trying to work on for my next book. And I was like, oh yeah, that was it. It was a term and I knew the definition of it, but I couldn't remember the name of the term. And it finally hit me while I was coaching basketball for my son. So, you know, sometimes you do need to just leave it and get your mind off it. And so if it's something difficult and you're not able to get it or piece it together, throw it through AI, see what comes up, you know? Well, Gabby, you know, I appreciate you taking the time to come on and kind of educate our audience on all things technology. What are tips or tricks or pointers that you have for people that are looking to utilize technology either to teach or to learn if they're, you know, just getting started and not really sure where to go to kind of you know, get the ball rolling? What would you recommend?
I think the first thing I would recommend is I'm a people watcher, Scott. I love watching people. When I see somebody engage in something that I want to do, or maybe I want to get better at, seek mentors. For instance, if you see somebody using a technology that you're like, I don't know what it does, I don't know what it is, just ask. And that's where we can build an association. Maybe somebody helping you, holding your hand and exposing you to it. That I think that's the start. Now, let's say you don't have anybody, right? Now it's just you, but you're like, I want to try some stuff out. Pick one thing. Okay, pick one thing. And don't pick it because, you know, it's shiny, it's sparkly. It's, what are you trying to prove? What are you trying to teach? What do you want your students to experience? What do you want your faculty? Because this can go leadership. What do you want them to experience? What's the effect? What do I want to gauge from it? And so I like to call, what is that? Backwards engineering?
Yeah, reverse engineering. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to see that outcome. I got to see that outcome. Maybe I'm wrong, but at least I'm striving for this outcome. So maybe my technology piece, I'm not trying to teach. Maybe I just want to engage them. Maybe I just need an icebreaker. That's what I do. And I go backwards. Just trial it. And here's my last tip. Keep it simple. The simpler, the better. It might seem like, oh no, this is way too simple. Trust me. You did good.
Yep. If you gave it a try and it worked, it was a successful day.
That's a win. Yeah. And what you said, the Wi-Fi is working, everything's good.
Yeah.
That's a win.
Awesome. Well, Gabby, we ask all of our guests this one final question. And that question is, if you could change one aspect of higher education, DPT, OT, whatever, healthcare, higher education in general, what aspect would you change and how would you change it?
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. It's a loaded question. That's why we ask it.
It is loaded. So what would I change? If funny enough, I'd change the technology. No, I really mean it. I think we do use technology, but I must say, Scott, I think we use it like wrong all the time. Yeah. We don't use it the right way. So I think if I could change something in higher education, would be to empower faculty a little bit more. And I use the word empower because it's not teaching them. They know a lot, but it's empowering them different ways to express themselves. That's kind of where I'm at. And how do you teach what you love? You know, when I see my instructors, and you can vouch for this, they're gate analysis experts.
Yes.
Have you seen like a gate analysis, like lecture can be like, oof.
Yeah.
That can be tough. But imagine I can make this gate analysis lecture come to life. Maybe 3D, so I can see all aspects of it. While you're talking me through it, I could see that heel strike. I could see that alignment, that percentage. I think that's fun for me. So I would change that. I think that's just where I lie in that innovative part.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Gabby, like I said, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking your time to come on and chat with us. Where can people reach out to you if they have just more questions or follow up or want to see what you're up to these days?
Absolutely. You can always email me. I'm quick to reply. I don't know if you share or I share, but gperez@usa.edu. I am a resource to OTs, PTs, whatever it is. If you're training for a triathlon, you can always reach out. Like I said, I do enjoy any type of motivation, any type of technology. I can definitely assist with that if you're kind of stuck.
Awesome. We'll put that link in the show notes so everybody can find easily. Gabby, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you, Scott. It's been fun.
Hello, everybody. Dr. F. Scott Feel here, and we don't do this nearly enough. I wanted to thank you as an audience for being here, for listening to the shows. Without you guys, we wouldn't have anybody to geek out with over education and learning and teaching and educating. So thank you for being here, for being, you know, faithful listeners over the years. Also, if possible, we'd love to ask a favor. We don't do this often, but if you could leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to this podcast, we would greatly appreciate it. It helps boost our rankings and our algorithm and really just helps get this message out to more people out there in healthcare education who may need, you know, some of the episodes and the experts that we interview. So If you could, like I said, leave a rating and review, we would greatly appreciate it. And we will see you on the next show.